This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, and you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So one of the most impactful skills we can gain for understanding the application of Scripture is learning to determine the difference between a prescriptive and a descriptive passage. Is the passage describing how things are or prescribing how they should be? For example, when Jesus says, as I loved you, so you must love one another, in the 13th chapter of John, it is obviously prescriptive. This is something we should strive to achieve, but doesn't necessarily describe the reality of the world in which we live. On the other hand, when Jesus begins a statement with, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's obviously descriptive. Nothing we do will change the nature of the kingdom of heaven. See, if we don't learn to make this distinction, things can go wrong with our application of the passage. For another example, in the 12th chapter of John, Jesus says, you will always have the poor among you. It is a description of the way the world is. We miss the point. We even actively transgress God's will if we see it as prescriptive, as something we should strive to have in the world. Poverty is something followers of Jesus should strive to eliminate. I hope we understand Jesus wasn't telling us to stop those efforts here. He was telling his disciples that the other Christian act the woman in this passage did wouldn't prevent them from continuing that work in the future, because the poor would still be there. He was describing the world in which we live. The distinction in today's passage isn't as clear-cut as in those examples. Jesus says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That can be read as prescriptive. If we wish to bear fruit, we must strive to abide in Jesus. It can also be read as descriptive. Those who are bearing fruit are abiding in Jesus. These are equally legitimate readings of this passage. We're honestly edified by either. But it is my experience that the church has historically focused on the former, and that's not as much problematic as it is incomplete. It may not be your experience, but I have heard this passage presented far more as a command to abide in Jesus and a warning against separating from the true vine than I have as a description of how to spot Jesus active in the world. Again, it's not an invalid reason. The prescriptive nature of this passage is part of why we extol believers to continue gathering. It's part of why we make parents of the newly baptized promise to raise their children among the faithful and bring them to the Lord's Supper. The further we get from Christian community, the more likely we are to become separated from the vine, which isn't an inherent salvation issue, but it is a bearing fruit issue. That's significant in its own right. Followers of Jesus should aspire to bear fruit for the kingdom, and connection to authentic Christian community is as helpful for that aim as regular weeding and watering is for a vegetable garden to bear fruit. The prescriptive nature of this passage is valid, but focusing on it to the exclusion of the descriptive element is a form of tunnel vision that narrows our vision of God's action in the world, makes us miss a good bit of it, and can lead to hopelessness. Too often, believers look to whether or not someone is connected to an acceptable symbol of the vine to determine whether or not we can accept the fruits, instead of seeing the obvious fruits of the Spirit right in front of us and understanding that no matter how obfuscated the connection, these could not be there unless there was a connection to the vine. Jesus is not just telling us how to bear fruit. He is also describing a reality of God's interaction with the world. The fruits cannot be born without God's involvement. If we miss that, we miss a great deal of God's handiwork because it comes from a section of the vine with which we are unfamiliar. Denominational factions have been calcified around this tunnel vision throughout history. The Orthodox and Western churches both closed their eyes to God's action in one another's circles sometime around the turn of the millennium. In the early 16th century, Roman and Protestant or German evangelical churches did the same thing to one another. Even today, much of the mainline church is a bit wary of our more charismatic sisters and brothers in Christ, because all that dancing and mumbling just seems suspect. And our more freewheeling siblings in Christ are equally suspicious of our adherence to ancient rituals and liturgies. There is a long history in the church of internalizing the sentiments of today's passage as exclusively prescriptive. We have heard it too often, simply as command and threat. Connect to Jesus or be thrown away. Too often the resulting conclusion has been, anyone who doesn't connect to the vine where and how I do cannot bear fruit. Too often the exercise that we take on because of this is to look down first and see if someone is connected to a vine we accept before we are willing to tolerate the fruits, even as the fruits of the Spirit bloom right in front of us. We continue to deny it. Friends, this is not merely command and threat. It is description and promise. Anyone who is bearing fruit is connected to the vine, whether or not we know how. And God promises to help them bear more. We don't have to dig down into the minutiae of our theological thought to determine if Jesus is involved. We can. It can be fun to get down in there. I love some good academic theological study. It can be edifying and revelatory. But if the question is whether or not this branch is blessed by connection to the vine, if Jesus is involved, it's too easy to get it wrong down there in the minutiae. Step back and look to see if there's fruit by the leaves. Jesus makes it very clear here. Those fruits can't be there unless they abide in him. And if you're curious, the fruits are these. This is not an exhaustive list. It's a demonstrative list. It's examples of the types of things to look for. And you'll notice they're not the types of things like butts in pews or denominational or congregational growth. Those may be helpful for bearing fruit, for maintaining Christian community, But they are not the fruits. The fruits are these from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where these grow, God will prune the branches and make them grow even more.